الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعرفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. The translation given by Abdul Yusuf Ali for this, the 13th ayah of the Quran, is, O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes, that you may know each other, not that you may despise each other. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is he who is most righteous of you. There are several, actually, ayahs that I want to go ahead and read because they set an important background for us. I have other readings that I will do. We'll read again from the 11th surah and the 118th ayah. This is Surah Hud, the name of one of the prophets. And it is from ayah 118, short. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولو شاء ربك لجعل الناس أمة واحدة ولا يزلون مختلفين. And it says, if thy Lord had so willed, he could have made mankind one people, but they will not cease to dispute. Another reading, 2:148. That is Surah Al-Baqarah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولكل وجهة هو موالها فاستبقوا الخيرات أينما تكونوا يأتي بكم الله جميعا إن الله على كل شيء قدير. This translation, صدق الله العظيم, this translation is, to each is a goal to which Allah turns him. Then strive together as in a race towards all that is good. Wheresoever you are, Allah will bring you together, for Allah hath power over all things. And a final reading, 1784. And this ayah is, قل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى السبيل. صدق الله العظيم. It says, everyone acts according to his own disposition, but your Lord knows best who it is that is guided on the way. Inshallah, you sense that the theme of these ayahs is about differences. But not just about differences, but about the inevitability and the naturalness of differences. Today's topic is different strokes for different folks, the universal and the particular in Quranic translation and interpretation. My theme for the foreseeable future, for as far as Jumu'ah is concerned, Allah knows best. We have to get to reading the Quran in its original language, understanding it from where we stand, but in its original language. Brothers and sisters, as Muslims, there is nothing more important for us than that. As Muslims, no matter what we're interested in, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we deem to be important, no matter how highfalutin this political year is going to be and has become, nothing. No matter how bad the economy is, nothing. For us as Muslims is more important than learning how to reveal the miracle that Allah revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The miracle to Muhammad is like Moses walking across in the Red Sea, Jesus walking the waters, any other thing that you think about as a miracle, raising the dead, any other thing that's been presented to us as miracles from the Prophet. This Quran is Allah's miracle. It's real, it's in our hands, it's in our face every day. This is a miracle that we have. A miracle. I'm going to say it again. This is a miracle. This book is a miracle. And it is it, just like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, prayers and peace be upon him, Moses. Moses, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first brought his revelation to Moses, you know, the burning bush scenario. And the narrative gives us Allah asking Moses a question, what is that you have in your hand? He said, it's my staff. He said, what do you do with it? I beat down fodder, you know, I guide the animals, what have you. God said, throw it down. And he threw it down, and it began to move like a serpent. Moses got scared. God said, don't be afraid, pick it up. And he picked it up, and it returned to its former condition. You know, we would say, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. This Quran is more to us than that moving staff that Moses threw down on the ground and wiggled and God told him to pick it up. This Quran is more miraculous than the images that we have of miracles that have been done, because this Quran is something that we have in our hand every day. A miracle in our hand. What do we know about God's miracle to us? All the things that we see and believe need to be changed in the world. What do we think is going to change the things that need to be changed in the world if it's not the miracle that God sent for the purpose of changing the world? This is what the book does. The book changes the world. It changed every world that existed at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Persian world changed. The Byzantine Empire changed. The Arab world changed. The whole our world has changed because this book came. And because this book affected the lives of people in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and now in America. There's nothing else. There's nothing, there's no dramatic stuff that's going to happen. All of our readings, if we're reading these things literally, all these boom, bang, bash, pow kind of things that are supposed to happen, actually, they're already happening, but we just don't know how to see them. And how to manage our lives under those circumstances is clearly described and delineated for us in this book. White House is not the answer. Reparations is not the answer. Anything we're thinking about, God revealed the answer 1,428 years ago to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says in this book, he says, he has made the book لَقَدْ يَرْسَلْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَحَلْ مِنْ مُذَّكِرِ. I have made, certainly I have made, certainly we, God speaking in the royal we, لَقَدْ يَرْسَلْنَا, certainly we have made, you know, عِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرِ, عِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرِ, يُسْرِ is easy. لَقَدْ يَرْسَلْنَا لَقَدْ يَرْسَلْنَا. Certainly, and he said, لَقَدْ, this is Arabic, right? The Arab full sound. لَقَدْ, that word, it can be said locked. Take the translator, locked. That's a lock. That's a, when he says lock, it's sure. You chest a lock, it's locked. لَقَدْ يَرْسَلْنَا قُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَحَلْنَا مُذَّكِرِ.
The Quran is easy. That's it. I made it easy. I can't read that. Because you're not trying. That's all. There is no other reason. You're just not trying. You haven't found a sense of urgency. Why is that important? My job is more important. What you gonna do when you lose that job? And it's, you know, inshallah, I pray it doesn't happen. But, you know, Yahoo just laid, basically talking about laying off 1,000 people. Huh? Now, you know there's a point at which that they were at the top of that peak, at the top of that price point, where it's, you know, like Yahoo forever. Nothing is permanent but Allah. Everything else is temporary. And if we rest on things like, that's going to get me through, that's going to get me over, that's going to protect me, as long as I handle my business here, that's going to be all right. I mean, every time we open a newspaper, go online, if you will, that front page hits you with something. Man, that happened? Yeah. Quran is the boat, the ark that we need to get on. Okay, so let's move on. I'm giggling. What am I giggling about? None of that was planned in my notes here. So I haven't even started with my notes. So let's do that. Listen. I started and the title is Different Strokes for Different Folks. That's a very ethnic statement. Very idiomatic statement. That 95% of the folks in this audience understand. In fact, the song started running in your head as soon as I said Different Strokes. You were thinking about that song. And that's really the point, that that statement holds the idea that I would like to communicate. And that particularly is Allah and all the verses that I read. Allah is saying, if I wanted you all to be one person, one type, I would have made you that way. Allah, if I wanted everybody to be just one type, I would have made you that way. I never intended to make you one type. But then the subtitle is Different Strokes for Different Folks, and it says the universal and the particular in Quranic translation and interpretation. The very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pure, the perfect, and the most high, that Allah made us all different is also what makes us all the same. What makes us all the same? We're all different. So we're the same in that we're different. There's everybody, let's say everybody. Just take a simple declarative sentence. Everybody is somebody. That's a true statement. Everybody is somebody. Now, make it a mathematical statement. E equals S. E standing for everybody, and S standing for somebody. So if it's true that everybody is somebody, then somebody is everybody. So at the same time that we're universal, we're also particular. At the same time we're also particular. How so? In the simplest term, we're all human beings. We're all human beings. We all share one common human substrate, that human nature. All of us. All of us. Asian, African, European, Pacific Islander, Native American, any person is a human being. So to that extent, they are all universally the same, one type human being. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of you are Adam. All of you are Adam. Adam is the essence of the human being, the nature of the human being. Adam is not a man. Adam is the nature of all human beings. And so what happens to Adam in these stories, Quran explicitly, is talking about what's going on with the human nature. So we are universal and we are also particular. That's a very important fundamental premise that I want you to follow me with, because of the fact that once you understand that and integrate that into your thinking and know that it was done by God and know that it has these cosmic implications. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He extends everything, وَسِيَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ بِرَحْمَةٍ وَعِلْمًا. He extends everything in mercy and in knowledge. And what that means is that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does has this universal quality to it, and it extends in all directions at once. So that is to say that it applies not only in the one place where you found it, where you found the idea, you find an idea, as I'm speaking to you now, you find an idea. But if you find and understand that that idea was intended by God and that Allah created that with a specific purpose, then you should understand that you can also extend that idea and not only apply it where you found it, you'll be able to apply it universally to other things. Brothers and sisters, this is what growing in Al-Islam is about. Growing in Al-Islam is about expanding your mind, your ability to think, your ability to think about your thinking, and your ability to apply your thinking to your life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He says, none can believe except by Allah's will. And He will send uncleanness, rijsah. He will send uncleanness on those who fail to use their brains. Why do people have problems? They don't think. And if they do, they don't think well. And if they do, they don't think long enough. And the Quran is designed, when we ingest it, to grow our mind. Because the most powerful thing, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the greatest and most useful thing that Allah created, it's not the sun, it's not the moon, not black holes, it's the brain, the intellect of the human being. And this growth in Al-Islam, it's not about growing morally only, or spiritually only. It's about growing intellectually. How do you think the Muslims made the kind of impact that they did on the world during its golden era and at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was because of what it brought, the Quran and Islam, and they, by their obedience, what they brought to the table intellectually. The Renaissance owes its life, and thus the world we live in right now, owes its life to the resuscitation brought to Europe out of its dark ages by Al-Islam, by the Quran, by Muslim intellectuals, Muslim theologians, Muslim scientists. And that's the same opportunity that is offered to every Muslim in every age, which includes East Oakland, 21st century. Now, it's only that travesty, the trauma of the slave history and its continued impact on our self-esteem and our thoughts about ourselves that cause the, no, not me. I'm not buying that. Yes, me. And you should say that for yourself. Yes, I can think with the best of them. I have the potential, I have the capability to think with the best of them. And when I get this Quran under my belt, I'll think better than most of them. But I can't take Yusuf Ali with that 1930s translation. I'm going to have to learn how to read it myself so I can hear God directly. That's what we got to do, brothers and sisters. I read some material from a book last week, Communicative Dimensions of Quranic Translation by Dr. Al-Fatihi and a couple of other authors. I want to quote him again. He said, normally one translates ideas on which the words act as constraints, period. I'm not finished, but you want to have a picture. Words are containers. Words are vessels for ideas. It's like a teacup. You know, you have a teacup, you can put coffee, orange juice, water, you can put anything in the cup. But it's constrained.
by the cup.
Whatever you put in the cup is constrained by the cup. So when we get a word, what we actually have is just a word. We have a container. Every word you look at is a container. It's a container. But what are we looking for?
We're looking for the idea in the container. We're looking for the idea in the word.
So he said, normally one translates ideas on which the word acts as constraints. Here the concept is mentalistic and relates two different order of things. But it is useful as a warning against taking Quranic expressions at their face value and against translating from or into the primary meaning of the words. And what he's saying, he said, don't think about these things concretely. Think about these things conceptually. Words are containers that constrain, that contain and constrain ideas. When you translate, you're actually taking the idea out of the word. The important thing is not the word. The important thing is the idea that the word contains and constrains. Because once you get the idea, then you got what the revelation was for. But if you just focus on the word and you try to translate the word explicitly, you may very well miss the object of the translation itself, because the word that you use to try to communicate the idea, not understanding that's the idea and not the word that's the important thing, you may put the idea in the wrong word and in turn fail to communicate the idea. Do you understand? Yeah. No, I'm about to split. We've heard that before. I'm about to split, man. I'm about to cut. Youngster said, I'm about to cut. Said, hit me at 5 o'clock. Hit me at 5 o'clock. You see what's gonna happen, right? Go ahead and take that litter and say, hit me at 5 o'clock. Okay, so well, okay, where are you gonna be standing so I can hit you? If I take that literally, I'm gonna have some problems. But if somebody in a foreign tongue is trying to translate that to somebody else who doesn't speak my language, and then you know, he say he's going to hit him at 5 o'clock. Oh, my God. No. It means he's going to call him. He's going to touch bases with him. He's going to get in touch with him. He's going to communicate with him. So it's not the literal word. It's the idea that's communicated. That doesn't stop when it comes to the Quran. The example that he actually used leading up to this particular statement was the example of Nakhla and Rabta. Nakhla and Rabta. These one is a palm tree and the other is dates. Dates. They talk about Mary shaking the palm tree toward her and then the dates fell for her. And he said, well, if somebody does not have in their language date as a word of theirs, then if a person just told them and she got dates, but you have no concept of date in your language, then I still don't get it. I don't get it because I don't know what date is. So in order for me to facilitate communication or the transmission of the idea from the original language to the target language, the person I'm trying to interpret it for or translate it for, then I have to take the idea out of the date. And the important thing in the date was that it was a kind of food. So the idea in it was that she got food by this particular action. So the message that was intended was the message that by this action she got food. It doesn't matter whether it was dates or this or that and that when you're trying to communicate to the person the idea. But if the person gets stuck on the literal, then they're not going to help the person that they're trying to communicate the message to. So words are containers for ideas. And the key to translation and interpretation is not the literal translation of the words, but the correct apprehension and transmission of the ideas in the original words and communications, then into the target language. So different strokes for different folks, as we said in the title, communicates the essential idea to this particular audience. Namely, that's what's right and necessary for one person isn't the same for everyone, but the difference isn't bad, it just is. People are different. Different is not bad. But in some societies, being different is bad. Automatically, being different has something to do with being inferior or being superior, whatever the case may be. This society has not learned how to accept differences. And we have also been affected by that inability. We ought to be able to accept people being different. Everybody is not like us. Everybody does not like us. And they're not wrong because they don't like us. That's just the way they are. And that's just the way you are to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, people are like mines, gold and silver mines. I mean, we all have different content. He said, those that are alike, they're going to be drawn together, and those that are different, they're going to be separated. That's the way it is. And as the verse said, to each is a goal to which Allah is turning him. Everybody's driven by something different. Everybody has different impulses, different instincts, different appetite, different goals. And the Bible ahead puts it in very simple language, where it says, if the whole body were an eye, then where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the seeing be? So go back to what God said, if I wanted to make you all one type, I would have made you that way. But I made you different for a purpose. Don't get mad about the difference. Don't kill yourself trying to be somebody else. You're depriving the world of what God did in you. This is Emerson. Emerson is a natural philosopher. He said, envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide. When you envy somebody else, that means you're ignorant of what God has given you. And when you imitate somebody else, you kill yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in al-Islam compels us, when understood, be who Allah created you to be. Strive to unveil what God has done in you. Because he only did it that one time. You're the last one of you that's coming through here. No reincarnation. This is it for this side. I don't want that misunderstood. We look forward to Al-Akhir. So the true goal of translation, when it comes to the Quran and its reading and translation and interpretation, this idea applies, and Allah knows who is guided and who is astray. The true goal of translation, the author says, is to produce for the reader an effect as close as possible to that obtained on the readers of the original. My brother, he doesn't speak English, so he's bored. So he always has a tendency to send me that message. Hurry up and let's make prayer. Next time you should go somewhere else where you're more comfortable or get some rest, one or the other. Yeah, and he smiled. Yeah, I see you. We're going to be here till I'm done. Okay? And that's what I'm saying. We got to be us, because other folks, they're thinking about their program. They're not thinking about your program. And that's why I don't have no patience with people who always want to run tail behind, get up under somebody else's throat. You know what I'm saying? So if you, brother, he knows what's happening. You don't want to make that. If you have some, he knows what's happening. I didn't hit him like this before. I'm gonna hit him again. Next time, and give him take home to his family. He can translate it for him. Because we are people who have been under somebody's thumb for all of our existence here. I didn't come to El Islam to be under no Arab stuff. It ain't gonna happen. Not as long as I'm breathing. But y'all can give it to somebody else when the day is done, but not me. All right, so let's go back. Satan has had his peace. Because this is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, when you yawn, don't say, see, he don't even know the adab. If you yawn, you don't say, you don't say that. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, because that's Satan laughing at you. So go back and read that 49th chapter, which is one part of what I read in the early reading. Those desert Arabs, y'all, we don't understand that. You think about the ghetto and then triple it. Go to the projects and then triple it. All right, let's move on. So, don't mess with Bilal. We ain't playing that, man.
This belayah too. This belayah too. So the idea is to produce the effect in the reader. Last part of this portion of the khutbah. The role of translation is to produce the same effect in the reader or the hearer that was experienced by the one who heard it the first time. That is, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed what he revealed to the Arabs of his time, they responded to certain words in certain ways. Even in the verse that we just talking about, inna akramakum in the lahi atqakum, inna akramakum in the lahi atqakum. This ikrama, or this akram, this honor, karima, this honor that a person had, it was between tribes. It was among tribes. It was because you had so many sons, or so many horses, or you had so many wives, or so much property. That was how you got your honor. You know? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, inna akramakum in the light of qakum, He says, surely the one who is most honored among you, the one with this greatest nobility, is the one who is greatest in his relationship with God. So now this honor is stopped being a horizontal relationship, a relationship between me and others. It became a relationship between me and God. It changed the very meaning of the word. It changed the very direction of the word. And I say, well, no, yeah, just as when they were worshiping 360 gods, they had these idols in the Kaaba, and then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Qul huwa Allahu ahad." They've been used to going into the Kaaba, the house, worshiping these stones and having idols in their houses and having so many gods, an individual god, a tribal god. And then here comes Prophet Muhammad, says, "Qul huwa Allahu ahad." God is one. There's only one God. That was dramatic. And you have to imagine the impact. You have to try to get a sense of the impact of that statement in the mind and the culture and the sense and the spirit of people who had been for centuries, all their lives, worshiping hundreds of gods. So in order to communicate the power of Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, you have to have a sense of how did it impact the Arabs at that time. I would think it probably hit them something like, you know, they hit us, you know, white man is the devil. When we're in the Nation of Islam, you know, and we were told, white man is the devil. That's like, we had never heard anything like that. Black man is God, woo. Black man is the original man, the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of civilization, father of civilization, God of the universe. Ooh. That's an experience that you have to have had in order to really know what it feels like to hear that. We have many of our immigrant brothers and sisters ask us, how does it feel to be converted? Not to the Nation of Islam, just to Islam. How does it feel to be converted? Because many of them have never had a conversion experience in Islam, and after generations and generations of being Muslim, because I was born Muslim. That's why some of them don't think that our Islam is real, because they don't have a way to measure. Man, why this cat so excited about Islam? I've had it for three generations. We ain't done nothing. Now, he don't even speak Arabic. They must be faking. Go to prayer. You have voodoo on? Hey, man, I know about this al-Islam. But you're a Negro. You know? How you know? So, well, that's another miracle. And that's what some people just can't quite grasp. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. So we're talking about different strokes for different folks, the universe in particular in Quranic translation and interpretation. Brother and sister, I want you to understand, Allah guides you according to His will using your nature, your personality, your disposition, and your knowledge. It's so very important. Just like I just alluded to the fact that each one of us has a gift from God, which if we don't open that package, it's not going to be open. And when we die with that package unopened, that's a gift that the world was deprived of because we never developed our own talents. That's really what you do in the world. When you don't develop your talents, you deprive the world of something God gave to the world. He brought you here, gave you potential. You owe to the world the development of your own potential. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran
the miraculous, and then to think that he gave us faith. So often we can also take for granted this faith that we have, that we come this line, you know, I was always going to be a Muslim. You, man, come on. Now, so what about all the rest of your partners? Think about them. Where are they now? What are they doing now? How do they think as compared to your thinking? What happened to them as compared to what happened to you? And you and I were doing the same thing they were doing, and here we are saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. What was different about you and I and our best partners? Nothing. Allah chose you and said, you know what? I'm going to use you as an example for all of your partners. So when they start trying to have an excuse, oh, my mama this, my daddy that, well, what about Akbar? He raised in the same projects. Y'all played on the same street, ran in the same game, smoked the same dope, drank the same alcohol, ran with the same girl. You know what I'm saying? You all did the same thing. What's the difference? God said, I'm going to take this one and use them as an example. That's what he's done to you. If your man is real, he has brought you out. Not for you to say, I'm saved. It's for you to recognize that I am to be a model for my peers, my demographic. Profile yourself, and you're an example for everybody like you. This is how God does it. And God says in the Quran 14:4, he says, and we sent not an apostle except speaking the language of his own people in order to make things clear to them. Huh? See, now, people can listen to this representation. In a conference setting, in a seminar setting, I'm more guarded with my language. I use language a little more, you know, sophisticated and collegial and all those kind of things. But when I'm here, I'm going to say, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? That's what you know. You know? That's how we talk. Boy, brother, everybody here don't talk. Well, the majority of people talk. We got to talk to the vast majority, and then we can start getting all sophisticated. But I need to create in you the feeling that should come with understanding what I'm trying to get you to grasp. I'm trying to get you to grasp the fact that this miracle of the Quran and your own nature, your own mind, your own spirit, your own personality, your own knowledge is the very thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to use to communicate with you directly. I'm telling you, do you want to hear God talk to you? Man, these glasses loose, man. Yeah, you know, I used to really want, you know, want to meet Elijah Muhammad. You know, I became part of the Nation of Islam as it was that time. We are not a part of the Nation of Islam. Nobody get confused about that. 70, 72. Elijah Muhammad died. May Allah have mercy on him, bless him for his good deeds, forgive him his sins and errors. Never got to meet him. I met his son. And I met him through his son. And I prefer meeting him through his son than the way other folks, I think, who have met him, and I ain't seen hide in the hair of them. And I'm saying that to say that you should want to hear God talking to you more than you want to do anything else in this world. I know. Some of you want to take. Now, look, if Barack Obama walked in and sat down for Juma, of course I would keep doing Juma as it were, but you think I just ended Juma without acknowledging it? You know, if they send me invitations, you know, we want you to come and have a dinner with Barack Obama. You think I'm going to say, no, I only want to go, Allah, I want to read the Quran. No, I want to go sit down with Barack Obama. And Hillary Clinton, too. I sit with all of them, you know. But none of that is as important as knowing how to read this book and get the message that God communicates to you directly. I really need you to understand that, and I'm trying hard as we conclude to get that point across. So God says he sends people speaking the language of the people to whom he sent whenever he communicates that message. And then what does culture and ethnicity have to do with translation and interpretation of the Quran?
The point that I just made about 14:4, the Quran, God says, I always send the people who speak the language of the people I'm trying to communicate with. I don't send somebody with a foreign tongue to speak to someone with another foreign tongue. I send the one speaking the language of the people that I need to communicate with. Well, how does that apply to the Quran? Because the Quran is in Arabic and Fusaq. But it applies because we're all encouraged to learn the Quran, and as we say, لَقَدْ يَرْسَلْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْمِ الْمُذَّكِرِ. Allah hasn't given us a language that is complicated. He wouldn't reveal it in a language that's complicated. This language is a natural language. And it's not the Egyptian Arabic, it's not the Sudanese Arabic, or Libyan Arabic, Moroccan Arabic, or any of those Arab nations, dialects. Quran is a whole separate language. And this language, Allah's language as revealed in the Quran, Allah is not an Arab. But he used Arabic to reveal his meanings. Container, idea. He revealed Allah. He revealed his meaning. God's ideas. Can you get to that? Can you get to that? I mean, you think about Einstein's ideas. And we go, ooh. Einstein stuff is hard to understand. And what is he trying to explain? He's trying to explain things that God did with one word, kun, fayakun. But Allah, the creator of heaven and earth, he put powerful ideas in words and made those words communicable to us and made it easy for us to get to it. See, the only reason that you may not understand or believe or accept that is again because you simply haven't tried. There'll be an unnamed sister, some of you may know her, but I'm not trying to put her on blast, but she's a wonderful sister. We have been meeting since after Ramadan. We just finished this book, Introducing the Language of Arabic. And sisters, she's not a youngster. I won't give you a range. But faithfully, for at least what seemed, well, I think it's probably about 4 months, faithfully, every morning, 6:30, she's there before me. Didn't miss a class. Finished the book. And understands a lot from the technical, grammatical side of the Arabic. Why? Because she wanted to. And why? Because it is easy. So we have to deal with our fears and do it, because it is our fears that hold us back from realizing this. The one last thing that I want to mention from the verse 7170. This verse, in this translation, the 170th verse of the 7th surah of the Quran. Seventh surah of the Quran, it says, as to those who hold fast by the book and establish regular prayer, nor shall we suffer the reward of the righteous to perish. And this word that's used for holding fast to the book is masakah. Masakah. And this masakah, it means to hold or to grasp. But masakah, you put shadda, you double the middle letter, the other way it would be transliterated M-A-S-A-K-A. But this word maseka, it would be putting a shadda on the center letter, the scene. It means perfume or musk. Who hold firmly to the book is from the same word that's rooted in the word that is for musk. Containers, ideas. Containers, ideas. If Allah gave a word as a container, what is he trying to communicate? The idea that's in the container. Well, what is the idea in the container? Well, in the container is the idea of musk. So holding firmly to the book relates in some way to this musk. And what is this musk? Musk, real musk, natural musk, not Pierre Cardin, Bill Blass, you know, all these other folks. Tell my real musk. Is an oil that interacts with your own pheromones. It interacts with your own body chemistry. And when you put that oil on your body, it's going to give off a fragrance.
And if I take the same oil and put it on my body, it's going to give off a different fragrance. That's real musk. So when Allah says those who hold firmly to the book, that means that they grasp it. When they understand it, masaka, it means to grasp. But isn't that what they said? Do you grasp what I'm saying? I couldn't grasp those ideas you're saying. I mean, well, did you apprehend the concept in the thought? Apprehend. They apprehended the God, meaning they grabbed it. Hold on to it. Understanding, that's what it means. Those who have a firm understanding of the book. How do you get that firm understanding of the book? You have to take the oil of the ideas in the words themselves and you apply them to you, and you will get off a fragrance from you that is just from you. Allah, do you understand that? I cannot get what Allah intends for me to get through you until you get what Allah is sending only through you. So that means you can pilot me now. Nah, that's personal. What will God say to you? I said, Brother Imam, I see so-and-so in this. I said, well, show it to me. And he said, oh, mashallah, how many, you know, yeah. See, these other folks, they want to tell you, it only means that, it don't mean nothing else. Take it the way that the sheikh gave it to you. You know what? It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It's about to get real ugly, so I got to go. Okay, so, all right. So since it is true that Allah guides you according to His will, using your nature, your personality, your disposition, your knowledge, then who are you and what you know, pardon me, and who you are and what you know and the culture are not irrelevant to translation and interpretation. They are irrevocable and inevitable in their effects on the sender and the receiver of the message. I'll have to conclude with this. Maybe we might revisit the topic again because this is what I'm saying next week. Imam Muhammad, this Imam, that everybody in the early days, they were bid'ah. He's government agent. All the other ugly things that are said and have been said about this man. When he came and encouraged us 32 years ago to begin doing what I'm still talking about at this moment. And we have others who say, I heard it last weekend. Alhamdulillah, I was in D.C. with my brother who visited with us today. There's a sister, just in a passing conversation. Yeah, well, at least, you know, we saved our children from the dunya. Talking about schools. We said, yeah, the so-and-so, they're not in the dunya. And I'm listening, so I'm a guest, so I'm going to be a nice guest. Right? You know, but in my mind, I said, what are you talking about? Save the children from the dunya. Who gave you that? Somebody gave you one little word with the containing the idea they want to give you, the dunya. Imam Muhammad came on the scene and said, read this verse right here in the Quran. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ لَهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَاسِبَكَ مِنْ الدُّنْيَا. Now if God is telling me, some of this dunya belongs to me. When everybody's been telling me, it doesn't belong to me. And now I come to Al-Islam, here's somebody else who want to sell me vickers and sandals and oil and kufi and prayer rope and thobes. He telling me no dunya, but he trying to make me his dunya. I don't have no patience for that. That right there, don't have no patience for me, let it be known. We don't have no patience for each other. God told me some of this dunya is mine, and he didn't tell me how much. So how much? Well, I said as much as you can get without breaking the law. Yes! So that's what it, here's somebody, the musk of Quran and that ayah, testing Imam Muhammad, he says that to me. And I say, I get it. But he also said, it says something to the rich man too. Because it's in the context of a rich man. He said, this rich man caught on, he said he had so much wealth that his keys would be a burden for a body of men. I got so many keys. I mean, I can't carry on anything. They don't leave you no money, but responsibilities, though. That's what they're. I can't put them in my pocket. keys. With just doors around here, basically, can't carry them. But his keys are to treasures. But the message is that you have so much wealth, all the wealth you have is not yours. You got somebody else's share. Don't forget your share, Mr. Bush, Mr. Cheney. Huh? Halliburton, don't get scared. They already know we've been piped since 9-1-1 or before. You know that. So don't trip. They know. They know how we feel about the deal. I'm an American. And I got a right to criticize my country, my government. That's American. You have more than your share, and you're trying to get other folks' share. Don't forget your share. Leave other folks' share alone. That's Musk. So the rich man gets a message, the poor man gets a message. Isn't it wonderful? But it don't only relate to that. Brother and sister, I'm trying to tell you, it relates to everything else. Family. The married person gets a message, the unmarried person gets a message. Academics. The intellectual gets a message, and the common sense man gets a message. The practical man gets a message, the theoretical man gets a message. The scientific man gets a message, and the spiritual man gets a message. That's Quran. What kind of man or woman are you? And what does God want to say to you? Well, taqullah wa yu'allimukum Allah. God says, and be regardful of him, because he's always teaching you. Come on. So when we all get empowered like this, man, whatever little issues we're dealing with in terms, we call them problems. Problems that last for 2 decades. It's only because we don't read the Quran. Tell it like it is. We don't read it, and we don't follow it, we don't obey it, we don't apply it, we don't understand it as much as we should or could. Most of these problems will no longer be problems. But we keep trying to do it without the Quran, man. Keep on trying to do it. I'm going to make it not without the Quran. Forget about it. Allahu Akbar. So we got to get with it. And I'm going to move on. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين. Couple of things. Shahadatain Institute tonight and for the next 11-12 Fridays. Check the newsletter for the rest of the month. I'm not going to read.